We continue to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto, chapter 6, entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed, text 40 and 41. Vishuddham kevalam jnanam pratyaksam yakavastitam satyam purnamanadyantam Nirgunam Nityamadvayam. Dise Vidante Munaya Prasantat Mindriyasaya Yarata Deva Satarkais Tiro Dieta Viputam. Vishuddham, without any material tinge. Kevalam, pure and perfect. Jnanam, knowledge. Pradyak, all-pervading. Samyak, in fullness. Avastitam, situated. Satyam, truth. Purnam, absolute. Anadi, without any beginning. Antam, and so also, without any end. Nirgunam, devoid of material modes. Nityam, eternal. Advayam, without any rival. Rishe, O Narada, O great sage. Vidanti, they can only understand. Munaya, the great thinkers. Prasanta, pacified. Atma, self. Indriya, ashaya, sheltered. Yada, while. Ta, that. Eva, certainly. Asad, untenable. Tarkai, arguments. Tiradita, disappears. Viplutam, distorted. Translation. The personality of Godhead is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all-pervading without beginning or end, and without rival. O Narada, O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is distorted and the Lord disappears from our sight. Purport. Here is an estimation of the Lord apart from his transcendental activities in the temporary material creations. Mayavad philosophy tries to designate the Lord as uncontaminated by a material body when he accepts forms of incarnations. This sort of interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances. According to Mayavad philosophy, the spirit soul, when covered by nescience, it is designated jiva. But when freed from such ignorance or nescience, he merges in the impersonal existence of the absolute truth. But here it is said that the Lord is eternally the symbol of full and perfect knowledge. This is his speciality, perpetual freedom from all material contaminations. This distinguishes the Lord from the individual common living entities who have the aptitude for being subordinated by nescience and thus becoming materially designated. In the Vedas it is said that the Lord is Vijnanam Anandam, full of bliss and knowledge. The conditioned souls are never to be compared to him, because such individual souls have the tendency to become contaminated. Although after liberation the living entity can become one with the same quality of existence as the Lord, his very tendency to become contaminated, which the Lord never has, makes the individual living entity different from the Lord. In the Vedas it is said, Sudam apapavidam, the individual Atma becomes polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sins. The Lord is compared to the powerful sun. The sun is never contaminated by anything infectious because it's so powerful. On the contrary, infected things are sterilized by the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord is never contaminated by sins. On the contrary, the sinful living entities become sterilized by contact with the Lord. This means that the Lord is also all-pervading, like the sun. And as such, the word pratyak is used in this verse. Nothing is excluded from the existence of the Lord's potential expansions. The Lord is within everything, and he's all-covering also. Without being disturbed by the activities of the individual souls, he's therefore infinite, and the living entities are infinitesimal. In the Vedas, it is said that only the Lord alone exists, and all other existences depend on him. He's the generating reservoir of everyone's existential capacity. He's the supreme truth of all other categorical truths. He's the source of everyone's opulence, and therefore no one can equal him in opulence. Being full of opulences, namely wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, certainly he's the supreme person. And because he's a person, he has many personal qualities, although he's transcendental to the material modes. We have already discussed the statement, Tambutagano Hari, Bhagavatam 1.7.10. His transcendental qualities are so attractive that even the liberated souls, Atmaramas, are also attracted by them. Although possessed of all personal qualities, he is nevertheless omnipotent. The purport goes on for another page, so I'll just break here and start commenting and then continue reading later. Om Agyana Timurandasya Kinandana Salakya Chaksuru Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So Lord Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Apapavidam. Or this Apapavidam means that he is never influenced by any sinful activity, any sinful reaction. It is not that the Supreme Lord, though, is not engaging in activities that would seem to be sinful. He is known as a chor. He's known as a thief. The Supreme Lord is stealing. And not only is he stealing, he's killing so many people. In Mathura, we see descriptions of how the Lord just slaughtered the army of Jarasandha, created a river of blood, and elephants were in there like islands, and helmets like glittering stones and rocks, and endless people were just being killed there. So Lord Krishna is certainly killing, and he's stealing. He is engaging in many activities that would be inappropriate for us. But when the Supreme Lord is doing so, then these acts are acts of pleasure. They are acts that are all auspicious. After all, Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that nobody can kill and nobody can be killed. So why worry so much? Just before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord is standing along with Arjuna, Senior Ubayor Maje, in between the two armies, and 640 million people are going to be killed. Yeah. Don't worry about it. What you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Only 640 million people are going to be killed. So, he takes it quite light there, right? That 640 million people are just going to be killed. It's insignificant. It's not worth worrying about, Arjuna, right? Why are you making such a big deal about all this? Only 640 million people are going to be killed. Because actually no one can be killed. As simple as that. And the conviction is so strong and so clear in Lord Krishna that therefore he doesn't see it at all like a problematic thing. Vasamsi janani yatavihaya. That simply we are giving up the old clothes that we were wearing and put on new garments in the same way. Put on a new body. That's all there is to it. Nothing more. So Krishna was even explaining. He said, well, even if you kill your grandfather and your guru, they will only be benefited. They'll either go to the heavenly planets or they get a new fresh body and in which they can do so many things instead of that aged body. So they won't lose. But anyone killed by Krishna, of course, is specially benedicted. Even the demons that are killed by Krishna are being very much purified from their envious mentality and are able to enter into the Brahmajyoti, where they basically are associating with the Supreme Lord, not entirely with the Supreme Lord in all his aspects, but certainly it is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it is a pleasant position. It may be not fully satisfying, but it is certainly not a hellish existence to be in the Brahmajyoti. In the Brahmajyoti, there is Brahmananda, right? There is the happiness of Brahman. Yet, we understand Vadanti tat tattvam tatyat vijnanam Brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti sabjate, that these that the absolute truth consists in three aspects. It says the undivided absolute truth is divided in three, which is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Interesting verse. So the Supreme Lord has his various energies, and he is manifesting himself in all these different ways. And of course, for one who is on the topmost platform, yes, stavara jangama dekina dekitara murti, he is not seeing anything. He's not seeing different forms. It says whether he looks at the moving living entities or the non-moving living entities, he's not seeing their forms. Sarvatra haya nija ista deva spurti. Rather, wherever he's looking, he's seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that is a platform of one who is on the Uttama Adhikari platform. Such a person is anyway always perceiving the Supreme Lord in his eternal abode. So such a person can at any time perceive the Supreme Lord. Of course, sometimes he may see through the energies. He may understand that the Lord is present by the effect of the Lord. We see the effect of the Lord by so many arrangements. We see the law of karma, like we see here in Amsterdam, that the weather is just getting worse and worse and worse, and it must be getting worse and worse because people are sinful. So naturally it must be getting miserable so that they have to stay inside and they can't just engage in all their illicit activities. It becomes very, very difficult to do so. These punishments are there to check the sinful living entities. So the living entities that are not surrendering to the Supreme Lord are sinful. It is says that dharma or adharma, whether it is religious activities or irreligious activities, these are all known as kalmasa. These are all known as sinful. It doesn't matter whether you are a very pious, religious person. If you are not engaged in devotional service, it's sinful. Even if you are praying all day, but if you are not engaged in devotional service, it is sinful. And we see this. We see how so many people, therefore, are simply praying for fulfilling their material desires and are not interested in serving the Supreme Lord, so they are sinful. They are equally sinful as those who are not praying at all and are going out to try and exploit the energy of the Lord to have the kingdom of God without the king, right? Get rid of the king, but take the kingdom. Just like Queen's Day, right? Nobody cares about the queen. Everyone cares about Queen's Day. Right? We want to have a party, right? But the queen, what has she got to do with it? Right? Nothing. Right? She has nothing to do with it. The real thing is the party. That's what it's all about. Yeah. So, I saw it yesterday. There was a newspaper. I saw the headline, you know, like, even without the queen, Queen's Day should go on forever, it said. That was the headline. So, So in this way, people are just trying to enjoy the energy of the Supreme Lord. But there is a mechanism of sinful reactions, and we are all experiencing so many of these sinful reactions. The nature of sin is that it will cover us with the three modes of material nature, and that it will therefore drive us deeper into bodily identification. The more one engages in sinful activities, the more one will identify with the body. And the opposite, the more that one associates with the Supreme Lord, either one remembers the name of the Supreme Lord, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, or one engages in service to the Supreme Lord, or one is engaged in the mission of the Supreme Lord, then one becomes purified. And the first symptom of this purification is that one becomes free from ahara nidra bhaya metunam, from these drives of the body, of eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. These drives are very strong and very difficult to overcome. Yet, we must not underestimate the potency of this transcendental process for those who are hold on. But yet, for those who are engaging in sinful activities, there is the ocean of nescience. The ocean of nescience is there, consisting of the three modes of material nature surrounding us everywhere. And we may be somewhere out of this ocean of nescience at this stage, but yet maybe we're not on safe ground yet. Maybe we are more on a slippery rock just above the surface of the water. And it is very easy to slip, very easy. Any funny movement, off you go, right? The slippery rock above the ocean of nescience is quite dangerous in that regards. But the process in itself is very, very strong. Therefore, we should not become intimidated. We should not let the all-overpowering energy of Maya intimidate us, because we should know that Krishna is always more powerful. And therefore, we must have faith that it works. Although the whole world doesn't have any faith, and nobody is really practicing Krishna consciousness, and although we are like a handful of people who are in the middle of the masses somehow or other, trying to be different, and it seems difficult, still we must know that many, many great devotees before us have also succeeded, and therefore Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta. Therefore we must follow in their footsteps. They will be able to guide us right through. If we simply hold on very tightly to their example. So that is the process of devotional service. That one looks at the examples of all the great devotees that have appeared and that have fulfilled their life very, very nicely. And we see how Srila Prabhupada took these things. For example, one thing he said about initiation, that people have given their word, he said. You've given your word. So, to him, that was something very significant, to give your word. To give your word meant that you cannot come back once you've given, but you've given your word. But what if you cannot maintain, but you've given your word? But suppose somebody, but you've given your word, yeah, like that, as a conversation. And this is quite significant. But in the Western world, we've become very, very restless. So we are very, very quick to change. Like Prabhupada said, this is your Western disease. In India, there was a great problem that the devotees that would take up different services in various temples and in preaching would never last. They would do it for a year, 2 years, and then they would leave. So the Indian people would complain. They would complain to Prabhupada. They would say that they never stay. They always go away. They never stay. And Prabhupada told him, yes, this is your Western disease. And this is your Western disease, that you cannot be steady at anything. Because actually it is not so difficult in the sense to understand what the process is. The process is not complicated to understand. It is simple to understand. Because the simple process is simply to take shelter of your prescribed duty, your devotional service, and keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. Keep on trucking. Don't give up, no matter what. Just keep on doing that service, and no matter what happens, and you will be purified. But because the Western people are not accustomed, they're not accustomed to endure, they're not accustomed to be tolerant. Therefore, when there is some slight disturbance of the mind, then immediately everyone goes like, oh, my mind, right? Or a disturbance of the body, ooh, my body, right? In this way, we are not dhira. The Indians are very dhira. I was sitting on Indian trains are the best place to see how dhira they are, because then you really live in the middle of them, you know? You live with like thousands of people on one train, and everybody is just really living there, right? And I remember on one particular train, a man was sitting on the door, right? He was sitting on the door, right, for 9 hours or something. You know, I was broken sitting for 9 hours at the same time sitting on a nice seat, you know. My back was out of it. I was finished. I think, God, you know. I was sitting on a wooden bench, I think. It was so austere, right, I thought. But he was sitting on the door. He must have had a permanent mark in his backside. Yeah, it's so intense. And he kept on sitting on that door just hour after hour. And then there were other people, they were just standing. Right? They were standing, and it's just amazing. And if you see all the people as they live on trains, it's just so austere. Some people, day after day, are just on that train selling safety pins, right? How austere is it, selling safety pins? And they don't sell them alone. There's three guys in a row selling safety pins. Safety pins, safety pins. The next one, safety pins, safety pins, safety pins, safety pins. Three guys. And they're just so courageous. They don't give up. They don't say, boy, this is a bad spot, you know, right? This is impossible. No, they just do it. They do it. And it is a bad spot as far as I can see. Everyone is like, I mean, you know, making hand gestures like that, you know, like very irritated, you know, get off, you know, like that, yeah? They're not at all polite to these safety pin wallahs, yeah? They mistreated. Then there was another guy. He was somehow or other drumming on a pot. He had the pot on his belly, and then he was drumming on it in different ways, and it was so good that people would give him money. So people do all kinds of things to somehow or other get some money. And the people live so simple that in Bengal, they simply grow a pumpkin on their roof, right? You just grow some pumpkin on your roof just in case, you know, hard times are coming, at least you have a pumpkin on your roof, right? So just see how simple and austere people are living. And therefore, they've become very, very tolerant. So we've become very weak, actually, due to all our material comforts, due to all our facilities. We are gradually becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, physically weaker, mentally weaker, because we're trying to take away all challenge. At the same time, it doesn't work. It is simply shifting the burden. So as we are taking away some distress in one place, distress will come back in another place, and we have all the anxieties of mother society. Therefore, people try to, because they cannot tolerate, and at the same time, they also don't have the strength to fight the problems, they take intoxication. The ostrich tactic, right? Stick your head in the ground, yeah. Like, I remember many years ago, I was somewhere in a tourist camp in Delhi, and there was this one guy, and he was singing a song, and the song was, "Fortunately, I have the key to escape reality." And the people were all going like, "Hey," you know. I was amazed, right? I was a singer myself in those days, and was thinking, this stinking song, you know, look. Everyone is adoring it, right? such a rotten song. I thought it was a terrible song, but they all thought it was far out and great because this is what they want. Right? Because they don't, they can't face reality because reality is the duality, happiness and distress. So we have to practice this tolerance. Therefore, the Vedic culture is based on that. And the Vedic culture is based on austerity. So therefore, we are learning to practice different austerities. Austerities will help us to, they will increase our tolerance. They will make it possible for us to gradually become stronger in tolerating the pushings of the mind, the pushings of the senses. If you never have learned to tolerate anything, then obviously, at the very first bit of pressure, you will snap. Yeah. So that is the problem. So in the Vedic culture, we see how everyone is trained in this principle of austerity. So that helps us to overcome the pushings of the senses. The senses are very strong and drive us again and again into sinful activities. Therefore, we must tolerate. But tolerating alone is not possible. One must tolerate, that we must practice and learn. And that is, but that is Varnashram. Right? Varnashram means to tolerate. But beyond Varnashram is actually the higher tastes. Paramdhisthanivartate. On the transcendental platform, there is the higher taste. In Varnashram, where is the higher taste? In Varnashram, there is only regulated activity. There is only tolerance. There is only prescribed duty for every ashram in which we must try to somehow or other tolerate the onslaughts of the senses. The onslaughts of the senses are so strong that in any ashram, they can pull us down. And that is also a fact, that in our movement, in any ashram, we see that people are falling prey to the modes of material nature. Whether they'll be brahmacharis, whether they'll be grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis, they'll all get in trouble if they are not developing the higher tastes. It is in the, okay, in the sannyas ashram, obviously, one is on main stage, spotlights, etc., right on him. So if anything ever happens to a sannyasi, everyone goes like, ooh, so many went down, right? But if we are actually looking at the grihasthas, right, so many went down also. But they didn't go down in, with trumpets blowing, etc. They just went out the back door, right? That's all. They went out the back door, right? They gradually fizzled out, as we may call it. Right? They kind of fizzled out and gradually fussed out, and you know, hair started growing everywhere, and gradually, you know, like became more pale and drawn, and you wonder what it is, right? Where all this, where all the blood's been going? Anyway, I guess everyone understands what I'm aiming at. So they begin to look drawn, bloodless faces, tired, worn out, and you see them on the Sunday feast or on Janmashtami. Yeah? Hari Bol, Prabhu. Long time no see. Yeah? So the material energy is strong. It is true. And we have to develop the higher tastes. If we don't develop the higher tastes, we're not going to do it. We may delay it. We may delay it and think like, oh boy, so difficult. Ooh, right? And we may think about the material energy. We may think about the senses. We may think about our diseases. We may think about our headaches. We may think about our mind telling us, go this way, while our duty tells us, go the other way. We may think about all that. But actually, what we really have to think of is Krishna. That is the idea. Yeah? The idea is very simple, that you have to stop thinking about these things. Yeah? Stop thinking about the body. Stop thinking about the senses. Stop thinking about the mind and think about Krishna. Yeah? So that is what we have to do. How do we think of Krishna? Well, we said hearing and chanting, of course, helps. But then, you know, after a while that becomes routine also, we experience. Right? You experience, you know, you read every day. Have you been reading? Yes, Prabhu, I've been reading. I've been reading 1 hour, 2 hours every day. Nice. Have you been chanting? Yes, I've been chanting. Right? How many? 16, sometimes even 20 rounds. I know people who chant 20 rounds a day. Right? And still, after a while, became complacent. Mm. So, complacency is there. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we must engage always in the service of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnav Sevana, he said, serve the devotees. So this is a very important principle, because if you really try to serve the devotees, it's hard to be complacent. Because then you are always busy pleasing others instead of pleasing yourself. So how to serve the devotees, that is an art, and that depends on your position. And not that everyone is just going around, can I wash your plate, or can I wash your dhoti, or whatever, can I do something for you? That is not necessarily what it means to serve the devotees. To serve the devotees may mean that you are leading, but that you are serving the devotees by telling them what to do. That may also be serving the devotees. Or that you may be the serving the devotees by being enthusiastic in things that are difficult. That is also a service. So whatever your service is to the devotees, but serve the devotees in different ways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He said, Nirantar Nama Sankirtan, that Nirantar, without end, engage in Nama Sankirtan. So Nama Sankirtan means chanting the holy name, but it also means preaching. It also means preaching the holy name. So therefore, I remember Sachinandan Swami one time came to me in Vrindavan, and he said, Kadamba, yes Maharaj, Kadamba, I want to tell you some nectar. I said, oh, what is it, Maharaj? He said, well, now that you are going to take sannyas, right, I want to tell you this. You must think about that. Yes? I said, oh, all right. What is it? He said, well, there are three things that are very important. I said, oh, what are they? He said, you must always serve the Vaishnavas. He says, Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva. Then he said, and the other thing is, you must develop Nam Ruchi. Nam Ruchi, yes. You must develop taste for the holy name. Okay? You must. Somehow or other, you must develop that taste for the holy name. And the other principle, he said, is Jiva Daya. Jiva Daya. You must have mercy upon the Jivas. Okay? You must have mercy upon the Jivas. And he said, and if these three things are in the forefront of your mind, then you'll have no problems. You'll never have any problems. You will always be enlightened. Yeah? It was actually very nice what he told me, because it's one of those fundamental instructions. And I was looking for it, you know. I typed it in folio and that same day, and I thought, where is it, you know? Where did he get it from? But I didn't find it. You know, I didn't find it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But of course, you find it in that verse, Vaishnav Sevana, Niranta Nama Krishna Sankirtan. But you have to understand it. And you have to understand it. It's like a more internal meaning. Because you have to understand. Okay, Vaishnav Sevana, that was clear. But the Niranta Nama Sankirtan, that you have to understand, that it is a knife that cuts on two edges, that you have to do it yourself. You somehow or other have to forget about that mind, forget about these senses. Don't give them time. They are there. They're there. They're very much there. But don't make time for them. Don't allow time for them. So now, how are we going to do it? Are we merely going to be in a very cramped way? Are we going to try? I have to think of Krishna, 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 right? Krishna, Krishna. Ooh, you know, boy, senses very strong, right? Krishna, Krishna, no, only no senses, Krishna, Krishna, like that, make it a big fight. No, we must also be natural in Krishna consciousness. It is very important that we are natural, that we are ourselves, that we are human beings, not that we become Hare Krishna robots. You know, it is, of course, very nice if you merely take to the process and you just accept rules and regulations. But sooner or later, that becomes difficult. You cannot follow after a while. Therefore, we have to be natural. We have to engage our nature, our natural tendencies. What do you like? We have to engage the things we like to do in the service of Krishna. That is called nirupita. That is nijarupa, nijarupita, nirupita. Rupa Goswami explains that we must engage our own tendencies in the service of the Supreme. Has a particular talent. Everyone has some gift. We just have to find it. It is quite amazing, you know, like, we may walk around with our nose up in the air and think that we are kind of smart and that everybody else is a dodo, right? Has absolutely no brain, you know? We may walk around like that, you know, think, geez, you know, they're so spaced out. They're so this, they're so that. We think, look at me, you know? Right? We may, although, of course, we wouldn't publicly act like that, but on a subtle platform, the mind still goes like that. Yeah. But actually, you should know, we should remember that everyone has some talent and that everyone gets his turn. And everyone gets his turn to lead. Everyone, Krishna gives everyone his turn. It's very interesting to see in the GBC body how every year there's a new chairman and how Krishna somehow or other always chooses the one who, for the particular job for that year, you know. Yeah, something comes up in that year that just takes the qualities of that particular person. Yeah? And then he's just the right man. Okay? And a year later, a different year, a completely different person seems to be the one to deal with those problems. Like, okay, I saw so many chairmen, some from nearby, like 1 year Burijan was the chairman. So Burijan is kind of like, all right, calm down, mode of goodness, let's work it out in a brahminical way, you know, which for that year was very good because there were many agitated people and they had to be calmed down. So he calmed them down, I saw. Other years, we need people to go out there with a big chopper like Parasaram. I won't mention names, but you know. But anyway, like this, right, the job gets done. And Krishna simply engages the talents of his devotee. And this is just an example. Okay? Like, in this way, everyone has some talent, and you'd be surprised. You know, you'd be surprised that somebody who seemed to be completely incapable of even tying his shoelaces turns out to be a great cook. You know, for example, right? Can't even get his shoelaces properly closed. Always, but in the kitchen, suddenly that person turns out nectar. Yeah? Like that, you see so many cases. You just can't say what the hidden talent is of a devotee. And it may not immediately come out, but it is in there. Yeah. So it comes out sooner or later. And we must learn to appreciate each other like that. And we must create room for each other like that. Like you saw how Maharaj, when he was here, like how he's a dancer. Like who can dance like that, right? Who can go around in circles and jump up and down like that forever, right? And then somebody else gets something else. Yeah, I like to scream, yeah, for hours. And in this way, different people have a talent. So no one is left out. With Krishna, no one is left out. And in this movement, no one is left out. So this is the important thing, that we are not just trying to become stereotype people. Now I'm a Hare Krishna. It means I have to be a Hare Krishna. What is a Hare Krishna? Well, a Hare Krishna either wears a dhoti or a sari, right? Hare Krishnas, you know, the men have a cold head, the women have a warm head, yeah, because men always have their heads shaved, right? Always, your head's always freezing, and the women always have to wear a cloth over their head. You know, it must be hot, I guess so. So, like this, austerities are there. So stereotype roles, right? Here we are. And we think that that's it, but that's not it. The real thing is that, yes, we accept certain principles. We accept all the same principles. We accept all the same process of chanting, of kirtan. We all accept the same morning program. We all read the same books. So we are all worshiping the same deities. These things are all the same. But then, besides that, we are all individuals. And we should allow each other to be individuals. Yes. See, we must not make this movement more austere than it is. And by looking at each other and kind of checking each other, you know, Prabhu, that's not straight, you know. Vaishnava doesn't do that. Well, you know, the Goswamis were far out. You go see Madhu Pandit, the original, had a hat made of tulsi, like just a hat like we're wearing, and a whole jacket made of tulsi beads, the whole thing made of tulsi beads. He was wearing that. I mean, what do you think? I think it's pretty far out, right? If you would dare to do that today in ISKCON, someone would go like, Prabhu, you know. Prabhu, you know, you can't walk around like that. Well, Madhu Pandit did, you know. So we should give room for each other to engage our different talents in the service of the Supreme Lord. It is a big, big movement. It is a very big, big movement for everyone. In that way, it will work. And in that way, everyone will be inspired, because everybody wants to do the things he likes to do. Right? So we cannot just immediately give up sense gratification. We cannot immediately give up the mind and just switch over to Krishna and just all the time read all the things about Krishna. Like here, the personality of God is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tinges. He's the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He's all pervading, without beginning or end, and without rival. O Narada, a great sage, a great thinker. Right? I mean, this is philosophy, right? This is tough in a way. It is. I mean, I know it's nectar. I know it is. But after a while, right, when you hear too much tattva, then most people, you know, start like, oh, boy. Right? So it is like that. Yeah. Because we are simple people, such philosophy is not immediately enlivening us. We need some stories. We need some jokes. We need something to keep us enlivened. We need to live now. Okay? We need to live here and now. We cannot immediately just go for the transcendental realm and just take everything from merely hearing about Krishna, and whether it is about his absolute transcendental nature or about his pastimes or anything, it is all bliss. No, it doesn't work like that. So we have to find something we like to do and dovetail it in the service of Krishna. Something that is our nature, something that we're good at, obviously. I mean, you like to do something you're good at, right? You don't like to do something you're really lousy at. Yeah. So it's not so complicated. Whatever you're good at, do that for Krishna. Yeah? Do that for Krishna. Because everybody, you know, in that way, we're just like kids, right? Kids, you know, look how I can ride my bicycle. Wow, you're really good. You know, do a wheelie. Yes, I can do it on one wheel. Wow, that's good. That is really good, right? I mean, I also thought as a kid I was really good. You know, there was like a pipe with a pump in the street. They were pumping out water somewhere, and they put some planks on both sides. So there I went, you know, with my tiny little bicycle flying off. And then it would fly right to the sky, right? And I could fly more than anybody else, you know, a little fanatic guy like me. I was going fast, right? Until I flew into this old lady, right? That was the first person who broke her arm right on the spot in a bad way. So that was quite bad, you know. Jeez, it was a heavy week, because in the same week I went to school and someone poked me in the eye. One boy walked up to me and said, "How is this for a joke?" Bang! Put his finger in my eye. I tell you, whoa! I took revenge and I broke his arm also. in the same week. Poof, that was a heavy week. My father almost broke every bone in my body. So it was heavy because I got kicked out of the insurance. That was the worst. So we have our natures. Some are wild, some are tame. I'm still wild, so that's why I try to use that in Krishna's service. So whatever it is, you have to engage it in Krishna's service. Some people, they love to run around, and others like to sit still. We don't care what it is. Okay? You just do that for Krishna, somehow or other, and find a service where you can get absorbed. You can get absorbed because it suits your nature. Okay? You find something according to your nature. Then you can do it quite easily. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult to just make the jump. And then you start looking left and right, and where do I belong, and what is my nature? Right? Then you start to get into psychology. Then you are thinking, I'm a devotee, but I'm not really having a connection with myself. And then you start reading, what was it, Scott Peck? Yeah. Okay, Scott Peck, or, you know, another guy, I'm okay, you're okay, and all this kind of stuff, right? Or, I'm okay, you're not okay, or I'm not okay, you're okay. Now, where am I, you know? Do I have an inferiority complex? Or do I have a superiority complex? Or do I have a combination of both? A bit, you know. I mean, it gets more and more complicated. And you read more books, and every time it gets more complicated. Because you read a new theory, you say, geez, you know. And then you go to the New Age store, and then you start drawing mandalas, you know. Now you can draw your own, which is basically draw your own, a picture of your own mind, right? That's what it is. Free-form mandalas. I was reading about it yesterday. And then you get, someone gives you a little book about chakras. Geez, I have chakras as well. You know, some devotee comes in. Like, I mean, I remember I was in Vrindavan, and someone came, one devotee, he came in with crystals, you know. And I don't know, I wasn't so much into it, but anyway, one senior devotee was into it and said, you got to try this out. You got to try this out. I said, come on, you know. He said, no, you're such a wreck, you know. Get yourself checked out. And so there I was, you know, lying on the table and off. there he came with all these with all these crystals, you know. So the thing, I forgot, it's going left and it means one thing, and it's going right and it means another thing, you know. I think right is good and left is bad, something like that. But in my case, you know, it came to the creative chakra, right? My creative chakra. And the thing stood still, you know. It just wouldn't move, wouldn't budge. He said, no, I've never seen this before. There it was, you know. Dead still. Crystal wouldn't move for 10 minutes. He tried to blow on it. Nothing worked. Right? He says, boy, you must have a lot of energy there that is blocked, Prabhu. There must be a big blockage in your chakra, you know. Okay, he wanted to do some Reiki, etc. So, I mean, in this way, you can get into so many things, you know. So then you can walk around and, geez, you know, I got a blocked creative chakra, right? I mean, for the rest of the months, right, you're feeling like, completely like, wow, how are you, Kadamba? I don't know, I feel terrible. Why? Oh boy, my chakra is blocked. Really? Yeah, it's really bad, you know. The crystal didn't want to move. Like this, you know. Like this. I had a new problem. I never had it before, right? But suddenly I had this problem, you know. Then someone said, I'm going to do your chart. I said, like, are we really going to do your chart, you know? And then my chart started slapping me around the ears, you know. I always thought I was okay. But then I found out I wasn't, you know. I thought I found some real bad planets and bad periods, etc. And, oh, Jesus, it's coming now, you know. And like that. Every time I got into these things, I had a new problem. Yeah? And a new problem. Scott Peck, astrology, crystals, and you name it, right? So in this way, but you get into that because you feel I've become estranged from myself. I've become estranged from myself. I've been too long in this role. Right? That's why this Dale a couple of years ago, right, cleaned up, because all these people felt the same way. And they felt like we've lost connection with our real selves. We've played a role for too long on stage. Yes, but who are we really? So, okay, let's wake up while we're still in the movement. Right? Let's just do it now. Let's make it real. What's the problem? Let's be what we are. You know, I mean, let's not be ashamed. Right? You have to just be yourself. It takes getting used to, but let's just be what we have, employ our talents in the service of Krishna, and then it's nice. Because it's true, you know. Here I am, you know, like saying, oh boy, I feel so terrible. My body, my mind, my senses, my this, my that. But if there's a party, if somebody says, look, Kadamba, you can come to Vrindavan right now, you know, we'll give you a flight. Yeah, surprise, you know, just now, there's one ticket, you can go today. But I guess you can't go, I guess you're too sick. No, I'm not sick, I'm okay. I feel a lot better today. I don't feel that bad, I can go, okay? I'm all right. Lately I was feeling much better, okay? Immediately, you know, I'm feeling better. And so it's like, if you can do something that you want to do, then you feel better. Then you don't feel your body, then you don't feel your headaches, you don't feel your senses. And in this way, we can actually engage in the service of Krishna. So this is okay. This is natural. This is what we see amongst the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that you have to eat stool to prove your surrender to Krishna, you know. I will not take nice prasadam. I will eat horrible things just to prove how surrendered I am. I will do the most hellish service, the service I hate the most, you know, that I will do to prove that I'm dedicated to Krishna, right? No, it's not necessary like that. We may be engaged according to our nature. Of course, we must keep in mind that there's also a mission. Right? We cannot just do anything you want, you know. You can't play saxophone all day just because you happened to do that before you joined. And now you want to do it also. But if you do play saxophone, then there are occasions to play saxophone. If somebody would have played saxophone on the Queen's Day, would have been great. Would have been great. You know, if we would have had a devotee who plays really good saxophone in the kirtan, would have been far out. Would have been big preaching. Everyone would have loved it. Right? If somebody would have played violin, it would have also been really good. Of course, if somebody would have been played guitar, that would have been no good. I shouldn't have done that. But that's too much Maya. But anyway, we can try and engage things in the service of Krishna as much as possible and use it for pushing forward Krishna consciousness. That is Nirantar Nama Krishna Sankirtan. That is the meaning of Nirantar Nama Krishna Sankirtan. No, I meant, so if you are a karmakandi and if you are just concerned to fulfill your own material desires, that is, then you are also sinful, although you are religious. Okay? But if you are engaging in devotional service and you have material desires and you are a Sakama devotee with material desires, okay, if Krishna fulfills your desire, that's fine, that's all right. And better you approach Krishna for your material desire. And that is there. My dear Krishna, you know, I can't live in this room anymore. Please give me a nice apartment. Okay? You know, it's a material desire, but in a way, yeah, because it's a material thing in an apartment. But, I mean, completely, obviously, a completely transcendental person would not be affected. Yeah. But because we're not, we need the apartment. That is just one example that I'm just thinking of quickly. I mean, I guess after having lived on the floor in the office for a couple of days, boy, was I happy that I had the little room back yesterday. Felt so much better. Because I could read, I could rest, I could just have my normal spiritual life, right? And the things that kind of sustain your spiritual life. So, although a complete transcendental devotee may be always transcendental everywhere, I felt affected by being under conditions that were not supportive. So we must understand we must accept conditions that are supportive to ourselves, even if it relates to material facility. Oh yeah, it would be nice. That's true. I said 1 hour, you know, or two. But I mean, it's just like still some people. You ask people, are you reading? You know, are you reading? There's so many times I was temple president. So many times people come and they drop the mask, right? You know, they walk around like happy smile, and then they come to the office and go like, "Prabhu, I'm finished. I'm fried." Okay, geez. So, are you chanting your rounds? Are you reading? You know, like. Following the principles, right? These are the first questions you have to ask, right? So then, most of the time, they say yes, 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 yes. I'm doing every yes. Very confirmative, yeah, affirmative. Yes, I'm doing it. So then, obviously, you're not doing it right, you know. Maybe you're punishing yourself while you're reading, and somehow or other, you're not like, I don't know. Somehow or other, you're doing. Don't really penetrate in what you're reading. You don't think about it, for one thing. Maybe your mind is completely switched off while you're reading. You're just doing it as a torture. I have to read every day. Boy, oh boy, is it heavy. I have to read this horrible book again called the Bhagavad Gita. Poof, you know, is it dry and heavy, right? But I must do it every day. I don't know what goes through people's minds when they are not enlivened, if they say they're reading. Or are they telling me stories? I don't know. That could be. But, But still, I myself also find that although reading is enlivening, that it may not necessarily always be enough to curb the pushings of the senses. And that you may read, and that you may, that it may kind of absorb your mind a bit in Krishna. But on the horizon of your mind, these crocodiles of material desires are just swimming around there and opening their big mouths at you. And you just, ooh, you know, you try to read more the absolute truth, but here it is said that the Lord is eternally the symbol. And you try to read more loud. But then sometimes the animals of the jungle called the senses start to really roar loud, right, in the background. So therefore, sometimes you find that you've become too much involved in just reading and not enough in, that you didn't dive enough in preaching. Okay? And sometimes you may find that you dove too much in preaching and not enough into the reading. Okay? And therefore, so it is a whole balance. And somehow or other, the balance is found at the point where you're satisfied. If you're satisfied, it means the balance is right. If you're not satisfied, it means the balance is off. Too much one side. So then you put some more weight on the other side. Right? Again, the balance is off. You must have the balance between hearing, chanting, and preaching. Yeah, that's also there. But, you know, the spiritual master is not like a torture master. Right? So generally speaking, the spiritual master is protecting his disciple and is aware that his disciple is struggling with the senses, so is not adding unnecessary austerity in the life of the disciple. Of course, you know, this is the material world. Everybody in this whole material world has to do things he doesn't want to do. Every morning, everyone has to brush his teeth, right? We don't particularly like it, but we have to. And then from there on it goes on, and then you have to go out to work and do something, and lots of people don't want to go, but they have to go. So we also are not free from the struggle for material existence. And so sometimes we join and we don't want any more struggle. We want to become free from the struggle of material existence. That's why we joined. I joined this movement because I don't want to struggle anymore. And then your spiritual master tells you to struggle. So that's also there. But generally speaking, the spiritual master looks at the nature of the disciple and tries to engage the disciple according to the nature of the disciple. But it's not all only from that day on, only bliss and no more austerity. Mm-hmm. Even to get to where what you like to do, there's also a lot of things that are not so nice. And sometimes, yes, we have to do things that are tough. I have also received some orders like that. Construction, I had to do construction for 6 years. They made me make a sample building. My spiritual master came and said, "So, building away, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You like it?" I said, "I hate it." He said, "Great. we want you to be in charge of all the construction in Mayapur." Poof, 6 years later, boy, was I glad that I escaped. Because you can't speak to stone and steel. You can't, and I like to talk, as you know. So it was tough. Okay, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is further defined. And it is said there are three types of piety, right, that will help us to take up devotional service. The piety that leads to moksha, the piety that leads to bhoga, and the piety that leads to devotional service. So they are called bhogonmukhi, mokshonmukhi, and bhakti unmukhi sukriti. So only bhakti unmukhi sukriti gives you devotional service, and it says, and that you only receive from a Vaishnava. So therefore, all other pious activities are not really bringing you to devotional service. Of course, they can bring you, at best, to the mode of goodness. So if you come to the mode of goodness, that can be favorable for the for receiving the mercy of a Vaishnava. If you're in the mode of goodness and you do get the mercy of a Vaishnava, you may find it easier to take it up. But then you may be in the mode of goodness and get no mercy of no Vaishnava, and then yasyasti bhakti bhagavatira kinchana sarvir gunais tatrasa masate sura arava bhakti shu kuto mahat guna manomrate nasati davatobhi. So the first is, okay, devotees develop all good qualities, and the second part is that in spite of all good qualities, you'll be dragged away again by the mind. Yeah? So even, therefore, only devotional service you see from a devotee is actually what you can do. And then the statement I made comes straight from Chaitanya Charitamrita, out of the mouth of Krishnadas Kaviraj, that all dharma and adharma are simply kalmasa. They're simply sinful, and that only devotional service is pure. It's an extension, really, on what Stoka Krishna Prabhu already asked, more or less. Eh? Yes, the transcendental association is the cause of the faith, somehow or other. Through the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you're getting the Bhakti Lata Beach, right? So, either directly you meet a devotee, or you meet something left behind by a devotee. It is a devotee. Even if you see like a little picture of Krishna, somewhere a devotee of Krishna has made this. It are devotees of Krishna that originally make pictures of Krishna. Even if sometimes businessmen see that, hey, there's money to make out of these pictures of Krishna, we copy it, right? Still, the devotee is the original seed of the whole thing. So it is so therefore, if you get in contact with Krishna, it's either through Krishna directly or through the devotee. And Krishna will obviously send you to a devotee if he interferes in your life directly. So that is the first principle, that we are getting our devotion like that. But then, of course, when we are in the lower modes of material nature, yes, then, although we may have firm faith, and we may have faith in Krishna consciousness, at the same time, we may believe in Krishna, at the same time, it may not be possible for us to curb the senses. And the senses then are so strong, and we are so much entangled by lust and greed and anger, that how can we control? Right? So then we see that somebody who's very much in the mode of ignorance cannot immediately be steady in spiritual life. And that such a person may have to first accrue some more purification. So he has to get some more sukriti. But he does get the sukriti. We've seen all kinds of people walk in this door, isn't it? Some looked quite heavy and all dressed up with tattoos and so many things. Right, coming on motorbikes, and and others seem to be very much in the mode of goodness. But many who are in the mode of goodness are also missing. They're missing the boat because they may be too proud. Because ultimately, we are getting an opportunity. Everyone gets an opportunity, and it depends on your eagerness. How much eagerness? How much enthusiasm you have to relate to this opportunity. So some people, they really came from complete madness. I've seen people, they joined, they couldn't even speak. You know, they couldn't speak. They go, blah, 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 you know, strange sounds were coming out of their mouths. Yes, they were mad, right? They were insane. I mean, I knew there was one person, he used to sit in class, he had a red face, and then all the time he would put his chadar over his head, you know? All the time like that, completely. And then go again. And then pull it over 5 minutes later and again pull it up. So it was kind of, it was hard to give a class to this guy. And he was mad like anything. So what they used to engage him in breaking coal. It wasn't in Vrindavan, so they used to engage him in breaking coal. You get big blocks of coal and he used to break the coal. So then his service was to go into a room full of black coal and smash all this coal. So then he'd come out and be pitch black, you know, and then he'd walk around black, and then he'd see you, and then he'd go, and then he'd, again, his chatter over his head. So it's like, Bruce, Bhakta Bruce. Anyway, but Bhakta Bruce became quite normal in due course of time. You know, it became quite normal. I'm not going to tell who he became. But everything, anything is possible. So it is possible. But, of course, mostly for those who are deeply in the modes of material nature, it is difficult. And it may take another lifetime. Yeah? But they made us have to work out a little more karma, but the Sukriti from the little bit of association with the devotee is not lost. And therefore the faith will again flourish up in the next opportunity. Yeah. But it says that faith, that different levels on devotional service are all a matter of faith. And so that the faith of the Uttama Adhikari is like at the deepest level of faith. At Prem, there is the complete level of faith. Then you have full faith in Krishna. So our faith has to grow by devotional service. All of us, as we are different. But we, as you see, there's these modes of material nature. They are like colors that mix. Satya, let's say, we have sattva. If somebody is in sattva, 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 three times goodness, boy, I mean, he's super sattva, right? But most of us have a cocktail, right? Sattva, rajas, tamas, tamas, rajas, sattva. So bhakta tamas, right, is always, not Thomas, huh? Tamas. Bhakta tamas is always doing the wrong thing. He can't help himself. He's always chewing on his fingers. Bhakta tamas, go wash your hands. His dhoti is always dirty. He's always doing the wrong things, right? What can he do? That is natural. So you can see yourself what your cocktail is, right? Whether it's rajas, rajas, rajas. Or, you know, I mean, I'm sure, anyway, a little... We can try this instead of Scott Beck, the crystals and all the other stuff. We can just see how we're affected by the modes of material nature. Of course, not that we spend all day long trying to figure out, are we a Rajas Tamas Rajas or am I a Ramas Tamas Sattva, right? Whatever you are, right, you will become a Visuddha Sattva, Visuddha Sattva, Visuddha Sattva. Everything will become purified, right, in due course of time. Is that good enough, Lord? Okay, well, there's one more in the back. To your duty, yeah. Yes. Okay, it's a good point. It's a different angle, but it is true that we have to do our duty. I didn't emphasize it so much in my talk. Because I was maybe more tuned in to all of you who are doing your duty already, eh? And have been doing duty for a long time. But it is, yes, we must accept our common behavior. Yeah, we must accept our duty. So it is true, whether you like it or not, you must do. And to distribute books in the beginning is for many people a difficult thing, because people are not waiting on the street from, hey, what you got there? Bring it over. Give it to me, you know. Welcome, you know. Right? It's a little heavier than that. Okay? So naturally, nobody really likes to be insulted, ignored, been treated bad and rough and all these things. Yes, so it is an austerity at first. There is nectar if one goes deeper, but you have to go deeper to get the nectar. And many people, they just don't go deep enough. They stay at the austerity and they just think, oh, this is too much. Okay. So so you must go through. Yeah, we must. I compare it to the desert, and that we grew up in an oasis in the desert. A stranger came, told us about a beautiful green land. He's ready to take us there, and now we have to go and leave the oasis. So what does it mean? You have to first go to the dry desert before you come to the green land. So you have to leave your oasis. Ah, my sense gratification. And you have to go through the dry desert with lust and greed burning on your head like anything, right? And it's hot and it's dry, and you have to go through that before you come to further oases on the way. Then you come to the oasis of the mode of goodness. You find it on the way, so nice and rosy. Some people say, I'll stay here. No, leave that oasis also. Don't enjoy your spiritual life. Your Krishna is the enjoyer. Now go out again, more austerity, back in that hot desert. Jeez, do I really have to? Yes, you have to. And then, you know, as you're going on, then you begin to see that, gee, the desert is changing. It's getting green, nice green. And when it gets nice green, then you get some realizations in your spiritual life. You become inspired. The green starts to get fruits, you know. Maybe not the fruits of love of God, but these are not bad, you know. They get inspired. Right? Then you feel inspired. And that becomes easier. Right? Then it's not austere anymore. And then you may be walking around distributing books and saying, this is nectar. And the new devotees look at you, and you know, look, man. Look, you know. Give me a break. Right? No, this is nectar. Right? So like that, it does become nectar if you travel through the process. But in due course of time, still, everyone will drift. You can't just do a whole life of duty, 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 duty. I must do my duty, duty, duty. And then one day, you know, you just feel like, but where am I? Who am I? Yeah. So you must also come along, and you know. And so I spoke on that topic, okay, on engaging your particular nature in the service of Krishna. Shall we stop? Or Kurana Premanand has one. Misused. That you've been misused, exploited by someone. Well, you know, in spiritual life, you can never be exploited. No, I was not exploited. You're talking about me in particular. No, I was not exploited. I didn't like the Mayapur Samadhi construction at all. It was so austere. But it helped me to conquer my senses. I mean, it helped me actually a lot. I got a lot of mercy that I was allowed to do this. And I was all the time crying, you know, I'm a preacher, and I have to be here and buy these, in my mind, right? And I have to buy these stones and deal with these Muslims. You can't preach to them. They're such envious creeps. I mean, here I sit, you know, they can't preach. Right? No time to even go to class, right? Gee, you know, what misery I thought it was. But then, when I came back to Mayapur and I saw how many people are coming to that samadhi, yeah, then I was amazed. It exceeded my expectations. I hadn't expected that it would be so packed every day. I was always telling myself, well, it is big preaching, you know, in the future. I mean, so many people will come and see this samadhi. You are preaching. It's just long-term preaching, but you're preaching nonetheless. But when I actually saw what preaching it was, I was amazed. So, no, I wasn't sorry. And although it was a tough time, it was also good. You can never exploit it in this moment. It's just the, how you call those guys? The brainwashers and the 3D programmers and the Christian faith healers, etc. All those guys who are going to tell you, like, you know, you've been exploited by some sect, some cult, you know, for so you've given the best years of your life, and what have you got? You know, what have you got for it, right? Here you are, you know, too late to make your career, and never been educated, and you just worked so hard, and you gave everything to the spiritual master, right? And now you are stuck. Yeah. Now you're stuck, and nobody cared for you. They had no vision of what, they could have seen that you were not a pure devotee, and that therefore, sooner or later, you would get married, and that you would have needed your education to maintain a family. They should have seen it, so they've simply exploited you. Then you start thinking like that. But we shouldn't think like that. We should just think like, every moment of transcendental service that I could do this lifetime is gain. I can die any moment, at least I've got that, right? At least I got that much in, you know? Whatever, right? I mean, the whole idea, my education, you know, so that I can look after my family and live a nice, organized grihastha life, etc. And then when I'm 50, you know, then I'll renounce this. Who says? You may die tomorrow. So at least whatever yajna you have done, right? Whatever yajna I've done, you know, because we've done, and whatever yajna anybody's done, at least you got that to your credit, right? So no loss, no, only gain. Because, you know, I mean, some people say the bomb's going to drop. It might happen. It could. I'm not saying. But it might happen. Then at least, you know, I got my 6 years in Mayapur.